There are two reactions that are almost guaranteed as a major storm approaches. Some will raid the local supermarket, stocking up like there's no tomorrow on bread and milk.
I stopped by on Thursday on my way home from work. I needed soy milk, and I saw the store was totally mobbed. The lines were like 20 people deep, so I just gave up and turned around.
Paul Bowen of Somerville. Others second-guess forecasters. You know, those who say out loud, it won't be as bad as they say. But by Thursday night, the power of the impending blizzard seemed clear.
The warnings could not be clearer.
Stay off the streets of our city. Basically, stay home.
A snowstorm that hit the Great Lakes with snow and ice is joining another storm in the south to form a monster nor'easter.
Over the weekend, as much as 30 inches fell in parts of Massachusetts and slightly more in Rhode Island. Connecticut saw 40 inches and Maine 35. Winds exceeded 80 miles an hour near Cuttyhunk, Massachusetts, and the snowfall and winds knocked out power to more than 400,000 homes across the state. Governor Deval Patrick acted swiftly before the storm.
You know that yesterday I had asked that people stay off the road starting at noon today. I have now signed an executive order banning vehicle traffic effective at 4 o'clock today.
It was the first statewide driving ban since the famed blizzard of 78. Rhode Island Governor Lincoln Chafee also ordered cars off the road. Ed and Vicky Palmer, traveling from Bar Harbor, Maine, said their experience getting here on Friday suggested why a travel ban was needed New England-wide.
We had some tough traveling. Avoided a 19-car pileup in Cumberland, Maine on 295, but we were a little behind it, so.
You think that pileup was snow-related?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. One car got out of control, and then five or six others slammed into it, and then 13 more piled into that.
If we hadn't managed to get off 295, we would have been stuck in that pileup, and it caused a four-hour delay.
Similar stories were reported in New York and Connecticut, where travel bans were imposed too late in the view of many of those who were stranded on highways. Massachusetts roads, by the time the 4 p.m. travel ban went into effect, were mainly empty of cars. Boston subway and air travel also came to a screeching halt. At Logan, which on any given day has 100,000 people coming and going and 1,000 flights, the sounds of rushed, nervous passengers were replaced by an almost eerie silence. But Massport spokesman Edward Freeney said Logan officials were intent on keeping one runway open.
It all depends on the conditions. So if the winds are sustained over 50 mile an hour, then that becomes conditions that we think we need to, you know, stay safe and take the crews off.
The winds were fierce at upwards of 75 miles per hour. Some air travelers got out or in by the time operations ceased at 3 p.m. Friday. In one of the empty corridors at Logan, I came across a couple who had just flown 10,000 miles from Australia but could not complete the 90 remaining miles to Amherst.
I'm Polly Peterson.
I'm Dan Peterson.
We got here last night at 9:30, and we're trying to go to Amherst.
They decided, well, this was yesterday, last night. They decided, well, we're not going to run any more buses. So here we are.
Natural disasters have a way of putting greater emphasis on the haves and the have-nots. I found this man, Al Miller, sitting alone in Terminal C. He could not afford a hotel.
Right. My wife is at home and not too interested in driving out this distance in the storm. And she says the governor has said no driving. I'm camping.
So you're stuck here?
Stuck here for the moment.
Miles away at the Park Plaza, Crystal Serlis from Wisconsin was also stranded, but under better conditions.
Watching a lot of shows. Hanging out in my hotel room.
By Friday evening, near whiteout conditions, churned up by 60 mile per hour plus winds, turned snow into tiny granite-like projectiles. And it hurt. As I walked around downtown Boston, I observed a ghostly emptiness and stillness. Sidewalks and streets were nearly void of cars and pedestrians. Nearly void.
What brings you out on a night like this?
Mopasilla.
You're looking for what?
Mopasilla.
We're trying to go home, but we have to walk.
Nothing's open. The T shut down about 2 hours ago. I seen a couple cabs.
I came across a grandmother and two small children walking past Faneuil Hall, lost and cold. The children spoke English, the older woman only Chinese. They did not know that subways and buses weren't running. They were trying to figure out how to get home.
Okay, it's okay. No, everyone's fine. We'll get you home. No problem.
Thank you.
Cool.
Thank you.
That's going to be $25.
I've got some money if you need it.
Gino Buccello, a city worker shoveling the sidewalks, Colin Longfield, a North End man passing by, and a reporter flagged down a passing taxi and passed a hat, so to speak, for the fare and sent them on their way. Similar acts of kindness were breaking out all over Boston. At the New England Center for Homeless Veterans, former Air Force technician Michael Fleming had just come in from the cold.
About 10 minutes ago, I walked out to have a cigarette in the alley, which is just right around the corner. And just to get to the alley walking into the wind, it felt like I was being sandblasted, because right now the snow is kind of icy, and I just can't even imagine being out in this. And so I'm very grateful to be in a place right now where I'm warm, and I have a bed to sleep in tonight. You know, I have food in my stomach, and people who care about me.
The Veterans Center, though filled to the brim, said staff member Shane Wells, was not turning anyone away, veteran or non-veteran.
We planned ahead. We knew it was coming, so we planned for ourselves and for other emergency situations. We set food aside for extra people. Cots got placed out, extra blankets, you know, to make sure everybody comes away from the night happy and warm and safe tomorrow.
Barbara Ferrer, Boston's public health commissioner, says the city worked with various homeless shelters to make sure that no one was caught outside in the worst storm so far this century.
Yeah, I mean, the shelters are full, but capacity expands with need. So we have a great sheltering system. All last night, we worked out systems to shuttle people between the shelters. So as one shelter filled up and we found beds in another shelter, we were able to move people to those shelters. There's nobody in the city of Boston, nobody who doesn't have a bed in a shelter right now.
No, I'm more than happy to put that in for a plow for you. Can I just get your address again?
On the 8th floor of Boston City Hall, calls were coming in from everywhere. Dorchester, South Boston, Roxbury, Roslindale, the Back Bay. 8,000 calls. Many wanted to know when the snow emergency would be lifted. Others needed real help, getting to hospitals from streets blocked by snow to dealing with power outages. Statewide, there were more than 400,000 blackouts. Boston officials say the city experienced far fewer, 2,400 households in Hyde Park, but by midday Saturday, most customers were back in business. Saturday afternoon, Mayor Thomas Menino, with a phalanx of city managers standing behind him, outlined what the city had done to mitigate damage from the storm.
I'm happy to report the city so far has weathered the storm well. No major power outages, no severe flooding.
600 snowplows and other equipment were out in the streets, and nearly 1,400 tons of salt had been spread as of Saturday morning. By Sunday, under bright skies and 30-degree temperatures, thousands of state residents were out in the streets, digging out. Others took advantage of nearly 3 feet of snow to ski, hike, and sled. The travel ban had been lifted, planes were taking off and landing at Logan, Amtrak was running along the tracks again, but life was not back to normal for many. The blizzard of 2013 left in its wake tremendous human and infrastructural damage. There was flooding in Scituate and Hull, and 2 deaths resulted from the storm. A veteran fireman in Worcester suffered a heart attack, and an 11-year-old Dorchester boy perished trying to stay warm in a car that filled with carbon monoxide as his dad shoveled snow outside. The blizzard of 2013 brought with it stories of humanity and tales of anguish, and a consensus is being formed that it could have been far worse if not for the responses by civil authorities, snowplowers, EMF drivers, taxi drivers, firemen, National Guardsmen, including one who delivered a baby, and state and local leaders who worked together to get ahead of the storm. Now, the recovery begins. Philip Martin, WGBH Boston Public Radio.